I'm sitting with Lorraine Keat, and we've just sat down and had a cup of coffee together, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her story. Lorraine was married to Ken for 54, and I think I can say glorious years. Were they glorious years, Lorraine?
Perfect years. When folk chaff me now about remarrying, then I say you can't improve on perfection.
But now, it was 18 months ago. It's just been 18 months ago. Tell us what happened on the 13th of May, 2011.
Ken had, as usual, brought me my early morning coffee and my Maori biscuit in bed, as he always did each morning, and he was sitting next to me having his fruit salad when we heard the vehicle come with the emptying of the wheelie bins. And knowing what the workmen are like, if he's not visible, then they left the bin right down the road. So he said, "Lovey, I'm going to go out and fetch the bin." And as he walked down the passage, I said, "Hurry back to your darling." And I didn't realize that was the last time I'd see him or speak to him, because he was attacked out in the back garden, but I didn't know that. And I was lying blissfully unaware in the bed. And the next thing, I heard footsteps down the passage. I was thinking it was Ken coming back, but in came two gentlemen, fully masked, and one with a screwdriver in his hand and one with a wooden mallet, and they came to demand money from me. And I said, "We're pensioners, we don't keep money in the house." And the one said, "You lie," and hit me on the head with the mallet. The other one just used the F word to me, pronouncing it in Afrikaans. And so I took all my budget envelopes out of my bag and I gave it to them. And while they were going through the envelopes, I thought, my purse has got my ID book in and all my credit cards. I must get that. They can't get away with that. So I leaned over and I took the purse out of the bag and I tucked it under the pillow behind me. So they never got that. And it's just as well, because with all the other things they stole from the house, they took my handbag anyway.
Okay, wow. So that was the start. When did you find out about Ken? Ken was attacked in the back garden. Tell us what happened to him.
You see, the attack actually took place at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I altogether had 3 hits on the head from the attackers. Each time I asked a question, they said, "Shut up," and hit me on the head with a mallet. And after the third time, the pain was so and the blood was everywhere that I prayed for unconsciousness. And the Lord was gracious, and I went unconscious. I had no idea what the time was. I woke up hearing our front door open and close. And I thought, hopefully they've gone. I've got to get help or else I'm going to bleed to death. And we had a panic button at the front door and at the kitchen door. But in the Lord's grace, he led me to the front door. If I'd gone to the kitchen door, I would have seen Ken's body lying on the back lawn. And I don't know how I would have taken that. But he led me to the front door. I pressed the alarm went off, and I went onto the stoop in my bloodied state to wait for the security company to come. They were there within 5 minutes, and when he said to me, "Get into bed and I'll get the police and an ambulance." And when he came inside, I said, "Don't worry about me, just find my husband," because the attackers had said they tied him up outside. So he went out and he came straight back in and he said, "I found your husband." And I said, "Jolly good show. And how is he?" And he said, "I can't move the body." And that's how I got the news. He said he wasn't allowed to tell me Ken was dead, but I reasoned for myself that to be a body, you have to be dead. So therefore, Ken was dead. And my first thought wasn't for myself, or didn't burst into tears. My first thought was, God has allowed this to happen for a purpose.
Wow. Now that was 18 months ago. It was time has passed now. How did you first cope immediately after that?
I think the Lord graciously kept me numbed. Although I knew what had happened, I feel that the Lord cushioned me and has only gradually allowed me to realize the full impact of what happened. That's why the book I've started writing, I'm calling Cushioned by Christ, because that I feel is the most apt description of what the Lord has done. He's let me down softly. Not that I say let me down, that he's disappointed me, but he's lowered me into the reality of what's happened softly, and that I'm able to take it. But he's been there for me from that very moment. Another miracle is the security company said it was a miracle that our alarm went off because the wires had been tampered with and there was no connection between our house and the control room. So God was in that business from there. It was only divine intervention that let that alarm go off.
Now, I think people, when they meet you and you tell them a story, they can't believe it, because it was a vicious attack on your beloved husband. You've been married for 54 years and now his life was over and he was gone. What comfort did you get, and where from?
The where from is easy. That's my Lord. He promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I had the privilege of being reared in a Christian home where my parents walked with the Lord. So I've been steeped in scripture all my life. And when I needed it most, all these texts of comfort came to me, and I know that God is a person who, when he makes a promise, he keeps it, not like human beings. And as I say, God's promises have no maturity date. They just go on, and he will fulfill what he's promised, and he's been there for me and is performing miracles all the time. Through this seemingly dreadful situation, he is bringing about good. When we got married, we were given a text, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And that has been our favorite text throughout our 54 years and 3 months of married life, all the way through, and that is proving over and over again in this situation that the Lord is bringing good out of this, and I say on a human level, tragic situation, but it's to his honor and glory.
What would you say to someone who is mourning the death of a loved one?
Unless you know the Lord, I don't know how you're going to cope, because there is no hope out there if you're not walking with Christ. But I mean, if you're walking with him, you grieve differently, because you have hope. You know you will be reunited, not as husband and wife, but you will be reunited one day in glory.
Mm. Lorraine, thank you very much for speaking to us today.
It's been a pleasure, and I just pray that the Lord will use this to bless some folk listening out there, whoever you are. God bless you.